Hello, this is Chris Yerkes reading to you for the June 4th edition of the County Chronicle. We'll start with the first page stories. Tuscola City Council. Route 45 widening will impact water pipeline by David Porter. The Tuscola City Council last Tuesday approved a professional services agreement with Chastain Associates for the water pipeline that is shared by Tuscola and Arcola. The agreement is in the amount of $101,000. The state is widening Route 45 between Tolono and Tuscola, which impacts the depth of the water line. On sections of the water line that are not on the state's right-of-way, any work will be done will be at the state's expense, said Drew Howell, Tuscola City Administrator. But for the areas on the state's right-of-way, the Joint Water Agency, JWA, must pay to have the line moved. The costs are shared between Tuscola and Arcola and come out of the JWA account. Hull said total costs for the projects are estimated to be about $1 million, with about 80% of that to be reimbursed by the state. However, the JWA will have to pay the upfront costs before reimbursement is made. He said the net cost to the JWA will probably be in the range of $200,000 to $250,000. Hull said the JWA has the funds to cover its responsibilities, but may need to borrow the upfront funds, which they could be due using the other city funds. He said he does not expect the work to impact water rates or taxes for Tuscola residents. However, it may impact the JWA's ability to return excess funds to the two cities. The city of Arcola approved a similar measure Monday night. Hull said the council, I told the state I didn't like it. He said the road is not being widened very much, but the shoulders are dropping off, which has prompted the work. He indicated that he thought the approach was not good, considering the impact to the water line. It's a critical infrastructure for 20,000 people. Besides the cities of Arcola and Tuscola, the water line provides service west of Arcola and for local industry. Construction on the highway is expected to start next spring, but the pipeline work would need to be done first. The Tuscola Council met Tuesday, May 27th, due to the Memorial Day holiday. Also Monday, the Council approved its annual agreement for street maintenance, which includes engineering fees to Jim Crane. Crane is the county engineer and performs engineering work for other communities on a contractual basis. Under the city's consent agenda, the Council approved street closures May 30th and June 27th from Pembroke to Sale Streets for outdoor movie nights. They also approved a payment of $10,000 to Grunlow as a change order on the Master Meter Station Water Department. Another change order reduced the city's cost on the same project by $3,500. The council also approved the revised list of summer employees, and Howell noted that the pool at Irvin Park should be open this week, depending on weather. The next article, Arcola City Council, Put Finishing Touches on Intersection by Ben Crane. The Arcola City Council approved their third pay request for Fuller Went for the Main Street redevelopment project, with City Administrator Bill Wagoner noting that the concrete in the intersection of Main and Locust needed to cure for a few more days before being reopened. The amount of $215,000 was approved by the council. The council also approved an agreement for professional services with Chastain and Associates, along with Arcola-Tuscola Joint Water Agency Route 45 in Champaign County is having some work done to it, and the water lines coming from Sadoras from the agency's pump station are going to be affected. So the council also approved an agreement for a reimbursement utility adjustment with the Illinois Department of Transportation, which Wagner explained is as a reimbursement schedule. It just outlines who spends what money where, he said. To round out the meeting, the council approved Ordinance 25S5, a business district redevelopment agreement with Arcola County Store for a sign project. The next article, County Line Road Under Construction. Douglas County Highway 12-000E, Moultrie-Douglas County Line, will be under construction beginning Friday, June 6th from CR 300 North Douglas to CR 2000 North Moultrie to Illinois Route 133. The construction project is scheduled to last 15 working days. The roadway construction consists of profile milling, regrading shoulders, cape seal, rut fill, and bituminous surface treatment, CLA1. The roadway will be under flagger control for the duration of the proposed work. Local traffic to homes and businesses will have access at all times and should use caution and follow all traffic control devices within the limits of construction, County Engineer Jim Crane said. Due to the nature of the construction activities, it is requested that all horse traffic be limited to walk pace within the limits of construction since the microsurfacing is constructed. The contractor will utilize message boards to notify the public when this phase of construction begins. It's anticipated that it will take 7 to 10 days for the microsurfacing applications to fully cure before the final application of bituminous surface treatment, CLA-1, can be applied. Questions may be directed to the county engineer at 217-253-2113. The next article, Arthur Atwood Lions Club partner on tractor and truck pull set for August 1st. The Arthur Atwood Lions Club is partnering with the Moultrie Douglas County Fair to prevent tractor and truck pulling on Friday, August 1st at 6 p.m. in Arthur. The dates for the fair have been moved to July 24th to August 2nd. The fair board agreed to partner with the Lions Club to present the tractor and truck pull during the 2025 fair. The event will feature six ITPA classes and two local truck classes. The ITPA classes are Classics, 6850 Pro Farm two-wheel drive trucks, 9500 Limited Pro Stock, and 1100 Pro Forum. New this year will be two Brag and Rights truck classes. Immediately following the ITPA pull, local drivers will take the track with four-wheel drive gas and four-wheel drive diesel trucks. To participate, drivers must be residents of either Coles, Douglas, or Moultrie counties, or the CUSD number 305 school district. The vehicles must be licensed and street legal. Special VIP seating will be available this year for purchase on the north side of the track. Individuals will be able to purchase spots for pickup trucks and trailers that will make way for a fun night. The pull is a fundraiser for the Arthur Atwood Lions Club. Funds raised from the pull remain in the local community and are used to help those with diabetes and vision issues, plus scholarships. Youth organizations, Arthur Christian FFA and ALAH FFA, will also benefit. Lions International is made up of 1.4 million members on 49,000 clubs around the world. Volunteers and partners improve health and well-being, strengthen communities, and support those in need through humanitarian service and grants that impact lives globally and encourage peace and international understanding. And we fulfill it every day, everywhere we serve, the club said. For information regarding the pull, call Jim Fleming, 217-791-1026. For information regarding sponsorships and VIP seating, call Jennifer Perrine, 217-254-1703. The next article, Canadian wildfires bringing ash to central Illinois skies. Out of Chicago, the Illinois Environmental Protection Agency, Illinois EPA, has issued the following update regarding air quality impacts from Canadian wildfires. Canadian wildfire smoke has reached Illinois as of February, May 30th. Currently, smoke models are projecting an increase in fine particulates to northern Illinois Friday afternoon that will sweep southeast through the Illinois during the evening and overnight hours. Some smoke may linger into Saturday morning with a gradual decrease from northeast Illinois towards central Illinois throughout the day. Another round of smoke is possible just to the west of Illinois on Sunday that is being monitored closely. Air Now, Nowcast, AQI may show orange or unhealthy for sensitive groups or higher levels to indicate the higher hourly periods. The Daily Air Quality Index, the AQI, for Friday is currently forecast to be in the yellow or moderate category for most Illinois sectors. Some sectors in the Chicago area have been downgraded to a USQ AQI forecast for Friday. Residents are encouraged to monitor local air quality and air quality forecasts using the latest information on airnow.gov. Particulate matter, also known as particle pollution, can cause serious health problems, including asthma attacks, heart attacks, strokes, and early death. Those people most at risk are people with respiratory or pulmonary disorders, as well as children and adults who are active outdoors. Sensitive individuals should follow their doctor's advice. Some symptoms to look out for include wheezing, coughing, a fast heartbeat, tiredness, chest pain, and shortness of breath. If symptoms worsen, call your physician or 911. Illinois Department of Public Health encourages residents to take the following actions to protect themselves when air quality is red or unhealthy, AQI category. Stay indoors and monitor your breathing, especially if you have heart or lung disease, and keep windows and doors closed. If your air conditioner has a fresh air intake, set your system to recirculate or close the intake. Use high-efficiency filters in air conditioning systems and portable air cleaners. Avoid activities that create more particulate indoors, like smoking or burning candles. If you cannot avoid working or other outdoor activities, choose shorter or less intense activities, considering rescheduling, and take more frequent breaks. Consider wearing a high-quality N95 or N100 mask while outdoors. We'll move now to the obituaries. Natalie Jane Lindsay Schrader, 38, peacefully passed away surrounded by family on May 16, 2025 in Topeka, Kansas. Contributions to Natalie's memory can be made to the Douglas County Animal Control, Post Office Box 192, Tuscola. Paul Anthony Rippey, 86, of Arcola, passed away at 7:37 a.m. on Sunday, June 1, 2025, at Mattoon Rehabilitation and Healthcare Center. Funeral services will be held at 11 a.m. on Thursday, June 5, at the Edwards Funeral Home, 221 East Main Street, Arcola. The Reverend Tony Crouch will officiate. Burial will follow in the Arcola Cemetery. Visitation will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. on Wednesday, June 4, at the funeral home. Ira W. Plank, 80, of Arthur, passed away at 4:50 p.m. on Saturday, May 31, 2025, at his residence. Funeral services will be held at 1 p.m. on Wednesday, June 4, at the Arthur Mennonite Church, 710 East Park Street in Arthur. Pastor Glenn Rhodes will officiate. Burial will be in the Arthur Cemetery. Visitation will be held 2 hours before the funeral at the church from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. The Edwards Funeral Home is assisting with arrangements. Ruth Ann Vandeventer, 93, of Tuscola, passed away on Monday, May 26, 2025, at Carl Hospital in Urbana. Family services will be held at a later date. Memorial donations may be made to an organization of the donor's choice. Trevor May Yoder Diener, 76, and 6 months and 18 days, of Arthur, passed away at 10:15 a.m. on Monday, May 26, at her home. Funeral services were held Friday, May 30, at the HCK West Building in rural Arthur. Bishop Laverne E. Schrock officiated. Burial was in the Yoder Cemetery in rural Arthur. Visitation was held Wednesday, May 28, and Thursday, May 29, at the HCK West Building. The Edwards Funeral Home assisted with arrangements. The next article, Zion to Celebrate Its 155th Anniversary. It was supposed to be a 150th anniversary celebration 5 years ago, but COVID had something to say about that. So on Sunday, June 8th, Zion United Church of Christ in rural Arthur is having a special worship service at 10 a.m. to commemorate its founding in 1870. The public is invited to attend. It might be surprising to think that the German Revolution of 1848 was a driving force behind the founding of the Zion Church, but the failure of the uprisings and protests to bring about a more democratic government brought about mass emigration from the region, causing approximately 5 million Germans to come to America seeking a better life. Among those immigrants were several families from the heavily disputed area of Schleswig-Holstein, and those independent-minded people settled into the Bourbon and Garrett Townships area of Douglas County. Retaining their customs and language, their arrival into the area, then called the Bush because of the heavy wooded landscape, predated the founding of nearby local towns. It might be considered that Zion is actually 10 years older than the traditionally recognized founding year of 1870, for the groundwork was laid to establish a church in 1860. Reverend Loeffler of Champaign, who had also come from Schleswig-Holstein area, was asked to visit, and it was decided to hold services in someone's home every 4 weeks. Then on February 17, 1870, a committee met in the home of Henry Hirt to see about the building of a church. This marks the founding date of Zion Church. This first building closely resembled a one-room schoolhouse, and for practical reasons, in addition to being used for church services, the building was also used as a parochial school. In the year 1892, this congregation made plans to build a larger and nicer church. The first building was moved north of the original site and converted into a schoolhouse permanently, and a second church building was erected where the first church had stood. The second church was a wood frame building, and it had a beautiful tower containing two bells to call the people to church. This building was dedicated on November 12, 1893. Lightning struck the church on August 7, 1907, at about 2:30 in the morning. A fire quickly filled the church bell tower, and within an hour the building had burned to the ground. The very same morning that second church had burned down, the congregation gathered and decided to build another church. On October 30, 1907, the cornerstone was laid, and on March 22, 1908, the current church building was dedicated. The next article, 4 Vie for Little Miss and Little Mr. Newman. June 14th at 6 p.m. will be the crowning of the Little Miss and Little Mr. Newman by current Little Miss Savannah Bosch and Little Mr. Maverick Happ at the Freedom Festival. Contestants for this year's Little Miss Newman are Mabel Lynn Campbell, daughter of Bailey and Dylan Campbell, and Rinley Walker, daughter of Chelsea Craddock and Norlin Walker. Little Mr. Newman contestants are Easton Crown, son of Chelsea and K.G. Sanders, and Brayton Sanders, son of Chelsea and K.G. Sanders. All contestants will receive a gift bags, medallions, and coupons for local businesses provided by the Women's Club. The Newman's Women Club sponsors this contest. The money raised is used to promote scholarship for Shiloh Student Council, FFA, and FCCLA. The money is given back to the Newman community to help the food baskets, library books, fireworks, and nursing home birthday parties. Canisters for voting will be placed to the First National Bank, Longview Bank, Corn Crib Restaurant, C&C, and Pizza Man. The next article, Ambara River Basin Agency offers scholarships. The Ambara River Basin Agency Incorporated, ERBA, in cooperation with the Illinois Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, DCOE, through the Economic Services Block Grant, CSBG, will have scholarships available for income-eligible individuals who want to attend college this fall. ERBA serves the following nine counties: Clark, Coles, Crawford, Cumberland, Douglas, Edgar, Jasper, Lawrence, and Richland. A limited number of $500 scholarships will be awarded to eligible applicants in each of these counties. To be eligible for consideration, applicants must be attending an Illinois college or university or community college as a full-time student during the fall 2025 semester, have at least a C average, and must meet CSBG income guidelines. All interested students are encouraged to apply. You may pick up an application beginning April 1st to be completed on June 13, 2025 at the local ERBA office in the county where you reside or on www.erbank.org website and schedule an appointment to return your completed application. The next article, Arthur gearing up for annual fireworks. The official 2025 Arthur Fireworks t-shirts are available for purchase in Arthur at Kirby Foods, Dick's Pharmacy, and Yoder's Kitchen. Sizes available are youth small up to adult 3X. This year's fireworks will be held on the evening of Saturday, June 28th at Jerkins Park Fairgrounds. All proceeds from the shirt sales will be donated to the Combat Veterans Motorcycle Association, the CVMA. The CVMA is an association of combat veterans from all branches of the United States Armed Forces who ride motorcycles as a hobby. It is their mission to support and defend those who have defended their country and our freedoms. Their focus is to help veteran care facilities provide a warm meal, clothing, shelter, and guidance, or simply say thank you and welcome home. Priority seating wristbands for Arthur Fireworks go on sale June 2nd. The Arthur Rotary Club said it is exciting to be hosting the 2025 edition of the Firework Freedom Celebration Fireworks on June 28th. They hope you are looking forward to it too. Once again, they're selling priority seating wristbands in advance of the celebration. Priority seating is in the Jurgens Park, starting along the lane south of the pool house toward the T-ball diamond on the gravel lot south of the main diamond, and in the fenced area of the north side of the football field. Wristbands are available for adult and school-aged children. Seating within the main ball diamond and other areas in Jurgens Park is still free. Skip the lines and much of the crowd by sitting in priority. Wristbands go on sale on Monday, June 2nd at First Neighbor Bank, Oye's Hardware, and People's Bank and Trust, all in Arthur. Money from wristband sales allows the Arthur Rotary Club to provide scholarships, support our schools, and help other local organizations that serve our community. Donations toward the fireworks display are always welcome and can be made at the State Bank of Arthur. The next article is the schedule for the Moultrie Douglas 4-H 2025 Fair schedule. Saturday, June 21st, 4-H General Project Show at the Arthur Christian School will include poultry conference judges as poultry live shows are currently prohibited. 1 to 1:30 p.m. check-in, 1:30 to 3 p.m. judging, 3:30 p.m. awards. On Saturday, June 28th, the Horse Show with Coles and Cumberland County 4-H at the CCEEBA Event Center in Tolono. 8:15 to 8:45 check-in, 9 a.m. start time. Monday, July 14th, Coles and MODO 4-H Dog Show at the Coles County Fairgrounds. 5:45 check-in, 6 p.m. start time. Wednesday, July 16th, Coles and MODO 4-H Cat Show at the Douglas Heart and Nature Center. 5:45 check-in, 6 p.m. start time. Saturday, July 26th, MODO 4-H Fair Kickoff Family Pool Party at the Arthur Pool, 3 to 5 p.m. Monday, July 28th, 4-H Rabbit and Small Pet Show and the 4-H Family Party at the Arthur Fairgrounds. 5:45 p.m. check-in for rabbits and small pets. 6 p.m. Rabbit and Small Pet Showtime starts. 7 to 8:30 p.m. 4-H Family Party. Snow Combs, Yard Game, Foam Play by the Livestock Barn. Tuesday, July 29th, 4-H Goat, Swine, Sheep, and Cattle Shows, as well as Junior and Master Showmanship Competition at the Arthur Fairgrounds Livestock Barn. 4:15 to 4:45 p.m. check-in, 5 p.m. start time. Wednesday, July 30th, 4-H Fairground Auction and 4-H Youth Ag Day at the Arthur Fairgrounds. 5:30 to 8:30 p.m. 4-H Youth Ag Activities. 6:30 p.m. General Livestock Project Auction at the Livestock Barn. Another article, Project 61 Ministries sponsors world-renowned international speaker Jaco Bouyens. At any given moment, 67% of all youth in America that has a smartphone have already talked to a predator on social media. They don't know that they have, but they have communicated. A predator has liked their post, has commented, and they spoke back. Jacob Bouyens, founder of Jacob Bouyens Ministry, told a group of business and community leaders on May 23rd in Arthur. Dennis Plank, Project 61 Ministries board chairman, shared his personal experience with sexual exploitation and how it impacted his life and business, describing specific incidents of employees being involved in child pornography and a young employee being abducted and assaulted recently prior to introducing a well-known speaker. Bouyens spoke to local youth groups and their leaders, business owners, pastors and spouses, and the public over 2 days, covering the topic of raising awareness about sexual exploitation, human trafficking, and online grooming that affects people from all walks of life, even in churches and Christian communities. Jacob Bouyens, a native of South Africa and an American citizen, has an educational background in sports medicine and had a professional sports career in both South African rugby and Canadian American football. He's an expert on human trafficking with 31 years of experience and a trusted voice in bringing awareness, influencing policy, and battling this crime. Fighting sex trafficking is personal to him. My sister was trafficked. She was 12 at the time, Bouyens, who was then 18 years old at the time she was taken. We were raised by a single mother. Nobody was talking about human trafficking at that time, so they considered it a runaway child or a child just gone missing. He went on to say it took us 6 years to rescue her. You start with the hospitals, then you go to the morgues, then you go to the gangs, he stated. Once Ilonka was rescued, we learned through her eyes and her experiences really what human trafficking was, Bouyens said. I just heard God say, not another one, and we've been fighting it ever since. Jaco discussed the magnitude of the human trafficking problem in the U.S., sharing, on average, a predator spends 9 months profiling. Currently in the U.S., the average predator will profile 32 potential victims at the same time. There are 750,000 active predators that have tracked at any given moment, 24 hours a day. So you take 750,000 predators, each of them profile 32, and you're looking at 30 to 32 million Americans being surveyed by their predators. The number one buyer of sex with minor in the U.S. is a male who makes over $100,000 a year, is married, and has two children, Bouyens stated. Women and children alone in America is a $52 billion business annually. You take the NFL football, NFL, and NFL is $12.5 billion entertainment a year. Buying women and children for sex is a $52 billion enterprise domestically, $152 billion globally. We're the third in the world's market. So then I ask you, where is the American business owner? Where's the pastor? Where's the fault? Where's the community leaders? Where are the coward politicians on this issue? They're nowhere. The predators run this show. They run it, and they run it within legal framework, he shared. Bouyens also shared that we now have extortion farms where 400 to 500 men and women sitting in a warehouse with a computer generating fake Facebook and Instagram accounts with 2 and 3 followers profiling our sons. The extortion explosion in this country on the young American men is coming out is so out of control. We discussed it at the Oval Office, like what is happening. Boys taking their own lives, the suicide rate. Outlining specific action businesses can take, such as building relationships with law enforcement, implementing protocols to identify and respond to potential trafficking situations, and addressing sexual immorality within the workplace. Jaco also touched on the role of the church and political leaders in addressing these issues, as well as the need for a moral and family-oriented culture in America. Today, he actively fights trafficking in the USA and globally, giving aid and linking with agencies such as the TSA, FBI, and police departments, sheriffs, CIA, ICE, Homeland Security, Special Response Team, foreign agencies, former advisory member of the Trump White House Anti-Trafficking Council, and a key advisor to several nations and to over 172 non-governmental organizations in over 56 countries around the world. Another article, Observing Mercury's Movement in the Night Sky by David Lake. We begin the month of June with the planets Mercury, Jupiter, and Mars in the evening sky. The first two will be tough to see as they are low in the northwest. Mercury passes Jupiter by just 2 degrees Sunday evening, but you'll have an unobstructed horizon to see the pair. Though Mercury's greatest separation from the Sun occurs on July 3rd, it reaches its highest altitude above the horizon on or around June 24th. This is the second best view of Mercury, and it won't be as good as March, but far better than one this fall. Mercury won't gain much altitude through the fourth week of June, but seems to drift closer to due west. The crescent moon is just to the right of the planet on the evening of the 26th. By the end of the month, Mercury will be headed back toward the brilliance of the sun. We'll focus on Mars next week. Next article, listening to television squawk shows by the ramblin' man David Porter. I think I missed my calling. I should have been a political pundit. As I sit here listening to what passes for news on TV, I realize that I'm as qualified as anyone to have an opinion on current events. First, I know very little about almost everything, and that seems like a requirement. Second, I can spout off stupid, hurtful rhetoric. And perhaps most importantly, I can do it with a straight face and an air of authority. The hardest part, I think, is building mountains out of molehills. That takes creativity. I'm pretty good embellisher, and I'm not bothered by lapses in memory. Those can be filled in with whatever pops into my head. Mark Twain once said, "I don't exaggerate, I just remember big." I think that's what he said, but I wasn't there at the time. But I've always thought that fiction ought to be plausible, a handicap that doesn't burden the truth. But some of the fiction I hear on the news seems so implausible that it almost sounds like it could be true. Today I heard a report on fighting among teens in America, and the news person, if you can call her that, compared an incident to ISIS, the extremist terror organization. I'm still scratching my head on that one. It seems like the news people on TV have two objectives. They need to find blame for the problem being discussed, and they want to push a political agenda. That creates a formula for tacking all blame to their political foes. That also means that the search for blame begins and ends on one side of the fence or the other. It doesn't matter what the breaking news is, these people are experts on everything. I think they must have a wheel behind them that they spin each time a new topic comes up. Each space on the wheel has a different talking point, but the hub is always the object of the disdain. Whether they hate the president or love the president, all roads lead to the same path. It's amazing. I realize now that I could never do that job because I know how little I know. While these guys know just as little, I'm not sure they realize it. Their arguments are tailored to fit their agenda and not the facts at hand. It's not difficult to figure out that they are playing to the audience that already has the same predetermined political persuasion. We call that preaching to the choir. Today, there are no more Walter Cronkites. Cronkite didn't speak to Democrats or Republicans. He spoke to Americans. Those were the days when facts mattered. The only thing we can do is listen to the talking heads on both sides and realize that the truth lies somewhere in the middle. The problem is that most of us choose to listen only one side that we already agree with, and that makes us part of the problem. In another article, Hook, Line, and Sinker by Tony Hooker, don't rely on reciprocal responses for your actions. Just do it. Google songs about caring more than those around me. Hundreds of lyrics will fill your feed. Apparently, this feeling of being one doing the heavy lifting is pretty universal, and it has been for decades. It's a quiet truth that many carry, the feeling that you care more than others in your life. This isn't a boast or complaint, just a deeply felt reality. Whether it's in friendships, family dynamics, romantic relationships, or even professional collaborations, there are moments when you realize your emotional investment, your proactive effort, and your sheer level of concern seems to outweigh that of all those around you. This propensity to care deeply can manifest in countless ways. Perhaps you're the one who always remembers birthdays and anniversaries, meticulously planning gatherings, or checks in when someone's going through a tough time, even if they haven't reached out. Maybe you're the first to offer practical help, the last to give up on a struggling project, or the one who carries the emotional weight of a shared problem, strategizing solutions while others seem content to let things unfold. Your empathy might be finely tuned, picking up on subtle cues of distress or discomfort that others overlook, compelling you to act. It's so crazy that someone like me, who forgets significant dates and facts almost every day, can be the one who remembers the minutiae from 4 decades ago. The truth is that those magical moments must not be as memorable for those who shared them as they are for me. Am I trying to recapture moments that only belong to me? Am I romanticizing now because I'm a 60-year-old is living a life that's pretty blah? It's tough to swallow the fact that moments that define my life were ephemeral to others. Whoa! What a significant capacity for care is a beautiful and valuable trait, it can also bring its own set of challenges. One of the most common is the feeling of unreciprocated effort. When your investment isn't met with similar enthusiasm or consideration, it can lead to frustration, disappointment, even resentment. You might find yourself constantly initiating, always reaching out, and feeling like you're the primary driver of the connection. That is all we have time for this week. This is Chris Yerkes saying goodbye, and see you again next week.